Their press conferences? Well, Ben Criddle is here to break it all down in a Reading Between the Lines segment. Ben breaks down the latest sound from BYU coaches and players right now on Cougar Sports.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. It's Bryce Larson. I'm the host of Valley Sports Talk here on ESPN 960, filling in for Ben Criddle alongside Brandon Gurney. As well, we've got Gavin Lee on the socials, as well as Ron Weaver, the executive producer, and Martin behind the glass as well. And appreciate you tuning in for a Read Between the Lines segment here on ESPN 960. We're going to get into some Mark Pope sound and talk a little bit about the BYU basketball team. And that's always brought to you by OrthoPros of Utah, orthoprosofutah.com. Make sure you come down to OrthoPros for all of your medical brace and other type of those needs as well. You can get braced up and as well as any type of help in that orthopedic realm that you might need as well. Come down to OrthoPros of Utah and they'll get you set up with whatever you need. Or go online to orthoprosofutah.com as well. All right, Gurney, before we get into this sound, what are your expectations for this BYU basketball team as they go into the Big 12?
I have no expectations, and I don't think any fans should hold any expectations. If you're thinking, oh, we got to get in a turn, stop it. Just have fun with the thing. Have fun hosting Kansas in the Marriott Center. Just have fun with it and don't have any expectations. You brought the Padres to me.
Yeah.
It hurts to watch that team this year. I've seen it's far worse than this, but the expectation that I had of this Padre team with all the signings in the offseason were sky high. It was going to be beautiful. And it is so unspeakable what's going on with that franchise right now. I can't even watch the games. It makes me so angry. And that's because I had expectations. Don't have expectations, guys. Just don't. Have fun with it. BYU's going to upset some guys. They're going to have some fun. It's going to take a lot of time to grow into this. It's going to be brutal. Just don't have any expectations and have fun with the thing. That's my expectation.
Yeah, they've Mark Pope's done a pretty good job at turning that roster over a little bit and bringing in some guys that could really help this BYU team. But when you stack it up against the competition that they will go up against in the Big 12, I mean, this team probably would have been a solid team, obviously not the best team in the West Coast Conference, if they were to bring in these recruits and they were to have one more year competing in the West Coast Conference. They obviously wouldn't be better than Gonzaga, maybe a second place team behind, you know, in front of St. Mary's. But when you're going into the Big 12 with all of that competition within the Big 12 Conference, the best basketball conference in the nation by a long shot, it's going to be really tough. But Mark Pope jumped onto the Green Screens Media, a podcast hosted by Mike Holland, Jay Heinrich, and Eric Romoff. He was asked a couple of questions. We're going to run through these here for you and see what Mark Pope has to say. So first off, Mark Pope was asked, you won 19 games last year. How would you evaluate the team's performance overall last season?
I mean, every day that we get farther from the season, I get more and more proud of what these guys accomplished. I really am. You know, expectations here are really high. And you know, I'm really proud of it. I think we've set expectations really high. And so, you know, certainly we didn't kind of meet the standard we've set in our first 3 years here last year. But all of that was done pretty intentionally. We knew we were making this transition to the Big 12. You know, we knew that, you know, even though we'd been ranked in the top 25 my first 3 years here, we felt like we weren't really even close. We felt like we were still so far away from making deep runs in the tournament. And so we knew that we kind of needed to make some kind of overhaul success, right? And that's really scary to do, man. When things are going good and it takes – It takes some stupidity and a lot of cojones to overhaul success. But we were determined to try, and so we put together a new young roster that we felt like, even in this day and age of NIL and transfer portal, that we could keep together and grow for a few years and have a chance to become something really, really special. And I would grade us out really well in a bunch of respects. I think this roster staying together, which is obviously primarily huge importance. I think we've added some really important pieces through the portal. I think my young guys got unbelievable experience last year. You know, just a couple last second shots against us away from, you know, being a 21, 22, 23 win team season, where we have a legitimate chance at being a postseason team with these freshmen and sophomores. And, you know, going to some games really underhanded and guys stepping up and making plays. And most exciting for us was the growth we saw from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Guys understanding concepts, guys being more comfortable on the floor, guys fitting in together and finding out how to work together. And so all of that leaves us incredibly optimistic about this project. You know, nobody in college basketball undertakes a 2-3 and 4-year project anymore, because you can't, but we're just dumb enough to think you can. And so we're going to try and do it.
So you know what I take away from that that commentary from Mark Pope there? College basketball really is all about getting old and staying old. The experience that BYU has been lacking over the past couple of seasons, older guys that have been in the program and have run the system for the past 4 years, and with the transfer portal, that has been harder than ever to come by, is guys who will stick with the program and stay in there for 4 years.
And all of that I agree with, and it's accentuated by what BYU is. And because Mark Pope enjoyed that initial success so much, maybe the expectations were too high. They absolutely were. And I don't want to draw this parallel, because BYU fans will think, oh, he's going to say he's going to fail, but it's kind of what Gary Croton experienced, right?
And, yeah.
But then because of that first year, maybe you're behind a bit because you had that initial success, and then you kind of have to figure it out later than you otherwise did. And I think Mark Pope's going through that adjustment, and it's accentuated by just not what BYU is, but what college basketball is becoming. But I think he's taken the right mindset of just being, wow, all things considered, I'm proud of what the team did, right? The more I'm away from it, I understand it. That's what it's got to be, because it's going to be a building process. It's going to be a team that's going to be just eking out victories where it can. Forget tournament play. Forget postseason play for at least 2 years, in my mind. At least 2 years. I think that's generous. So yeah, I like what I hear from Mark Pope.
And I think your Gary Croton comparison is appropriate, because Gary Croton had to play against some of the toughest BYU schedules ever in BYU history. And now Mark Pope is certainly heading towards some of the toughest schedules that BYU basketball will ever have to face as well. Going forward with Mark Pope on the Green Screens Media podcast here, let's take a step back. You were the captain of your national championship team. What did you learn as a player during that title run? And what things did you observe from Coach Pitino that you tried to apply as a head coach?
I mean, we learned so much. My goodness, like what an experience that was. My whole tenure at Kentucky was just incredible. But, you know, if I was going to boil Coach Pitino down to one thing, which you can't, he's one of the winningest. I mean, he wins everywhere, guys. Like, he wins everywhere. He went to Greece and won his first year, took over a team, flailing team halfway through the season, and won. Like, this guy's incredible. But if I took one thing away from Coach P, it is just he has this, like, this undaunted relentlessness. And I started putting those two words together as I try and understand who he is better. So clearly he's relentless. Like, he will run through brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. Like, nothing is going to stop him. Nothing's going to slow him down. Nothing is going to diminish his energy. I have never seen him have a day where he didn't have unbelievable energy and intensity, ever. He never turns it off, and he never takes a break. He's just wired that way. It's just his DNA. And I like to add the undaunted part, because he's also worked his way through so many. I mean, how many times has he been given or given himself the opportunity to be totally derailed? And he just won't. He just won't. He's just going to keep going. He's undaunted by the moment, always. Good, bad, ugly, victory, failure, misstep, or leadership. Like, he's completely undaunted, and we certainly felt that every single day when we were playing for him. But as you know, so many of us from that team are going through our own coaching journeys right now, and I think every day I understand who he is a little bit better, and understand, you know, what makes him so great a little bit better as we kind of see the challenges he faces as a coach.
So one of the coolest things I think that Mark Pope did in his time at UVU before he went over to BYU was able to get that game when Rick Pitino brought his team to Orem. And just that connection that Pitino and Pope have as a coach and player. Gurney, when Pitino came and played against that UVU team, did you get to go and watch that game at all?
No.
You didn't?
No, I wish I would have.
It was one of the highest attended games in UVU history. For those of you that don't know, I host the pre-halftime post-game show for UVU basketball, as well as the UVU coaches show. So just a little look into UVU basketball there. But interesting, some of the tactics that Pope talks about that he's taken from Coach Pitino and what he's learned there.
Yeah, a lot of and when Pope talks about what he admires most about Pitino, it's probably the thing I admire most about Mark Pope is his relentless energy. That's what he has. Yeah, you can just see the similarities between the two in that regard. And I think that's the one thing he's taken from Coach Pope and what he's effectuated in his own makeup as a college basketball coach. And that's why I think he's ultimately going to be a success, because he's going to learn. He's not going to stop. He's going to keep going and going and going. I love the Tony Finau quote several months ago where he said, "A winner is just a loser who just doesn't give up, pretty much, right? It's just a loser that just keeps going." And I think that's Mark Pope. He's relentless. I've said this on the program a lot. I've talked to high school coaches that became kind of annoyed with Coach Pope because he was so relentless. He would bother them all the time. And of course, there's kind of maybe you want to work that out a bit. I don't know, but no, he will not be outworked. He's very relentless in that regard, and that's why I think he's going to overcome and be where he's going to be a success under Mark Pope.
All right, going back to the sound with Mark Pope on the Green Screens Media podcast here. Let's talk about your coaching journey, Mark. Last year marked the fourth straight year that your defense finished in the top 70th adjusted efficiency. How are you able to motivate and keep your players accountable on the defensive side?
Well, if we don't guard, we yell at the guys and then we bench them. It's a revolutionary coaching philosophy. One of the things that we're good at is being really simple. We don't change a lot of things. I do believe that there's so much slippage in games that one of our primary jobs as coaches is to take out just so much data and so much information and distill it down into something that's reproducible by players over and over and over again, even though they're taking a barrage of input during the game. So we keep things pretty consistent, pretty simple. You know, sometimes as coaches, we out-coach our own team. And I know watching games, all of us sometimes are like, why don't they make this adjustment or that adjustment or whatever adjustment? Because you just get tricked into like over coaching the game. And what you see is, as you make those adjustments, you have all kind of unintended consequences that spring up. It seems like the adjustment is simple and makes sense, but then you have all the unintended consequences that come with it. And so I would say that's it. We kind of have a fundamental approach to guarding. We certainly are evolving. We changed a lot of things over the last course of our last 4 years, but we keep it pretty manageable in terms of the approach. And I think our guys are able to then go spend most of their effort performing rather than trying to remember what the most recent change or alteration was to what we do.
I think the biggest adjustment that BYU is going to have to make is facing all of these defensive teams in the Big 12, and the length and athleticism. We've seen it over the last couple of years. The length and athleticism of teams have absolutely just killed BYU on the basketball court, and that's one of the toughest things that that BYU is going to have to face heading into the Big 12.
It's going to be the biggest and most athletic teams on a week-by-week basis. What I liked about that segment of the interview is I know from basketball guys that I trust that maybe not the biggest criticism, but a main criticism of Mark Pope coach teams is he's been too meticulous. He's been too precise with what he wants players to do and just hasn't backed off and let them play freely. I kind of look back to the old Jazz glory days in the late 90s, right? The Jazz ran the same play over and over and over again. Jazz fans know the play extremely well. You give it to Malone in the low post, people cut and all that. It was extremely simple. And Sloan got criticized for that, but look at the results. And that's an extreme example perhaps, but I think it relates to maybe the next progression for Coach Pope is to trust the guys a bit more, not be as meticulous, and kind of be more hands-off. And that interview indicates to me he's well on his way to doing that and adjusting effectively to it.
Yeah, he said jokingly at the beginning, we yell at them, and then if they don't do it right, we bend.
Yeah.
And that's been the way that's how it's been really with BYU basketball. And as a player, you're kind of always looking over your shoulder, worried that if I don't do something the right way, exactly how they want me to do it, I'm going to sit down on the bench here. And that kind of really affects the psyche of some of these athletes. And some of these guys can't get into that groove because they're always looking over their shoulder. They're always worried about getting yanked from a game. So I agree with you. I think that's something that Mark Pope can improve on and will and has to if they're going to be successful heading into the Big 12. All right. That's going to do it for our Read Between the Lines segment. And that's going to be always brought to you by Ortho Pros of Utah. Go on to orthoprosofutah.com or come into the Ortho Pros of Utah offices for all of your braces and orthopedic needs for that as well. On the other side, we are going to welcome in Dick Harmon of the Deseret News for a Cougar Beat. We're going to talk all about this offseason and how successful it's been for BYU football. It's Bryce Larson alongside Brandon Gurney in for Ben Criddle today. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
Cougar Beat, getting the dish from the local reporters that cover BYU sports here on your Cougar Sports Insider Radio Network.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. It's Bryce Larson alongside Brandon Gurney filling in for Ben Criddle. He is out and about getting some business done today. He'll be back tomorrow, and he'll be holding things down here on Cougar Sports. We are going to get into a Cougar Beat here with Dick Harmon of the Deseret News. So why don't we get out to the Underdog Fantasy Hotline here on ESPN 960 and welcome in Dick Harmon of the Deseret News. Dick, appreciate you spending some time with us here today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I know, Dick, I know you're a big golf guy, so I have to start this off by getting your overall thoughts on what's happened with the PGA and the LIV Tour.
Oh, boy. I think it's a big mess. I think the PGA Tour has a lot of explaining to do. Monahan, this is just totally 180 degrees about what he's been preaching and asking people like Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth and a whole host of other leaders on the PGA Tour to fight and to speak up against, and now he's just kind of been bought out. I think that's kind of a hypocritical stance to take to get into it this way. But then on the other hand, there's a lot of money to be made, and they've kind of sold out. And the ones that will be hurt are the guys that are in the middle to lower part of the PGA Tour. The upper-level guys are going to be making a lot of money, and evidently somebody somewhere is going to make a ton of money, and that's why the flip.
Yeah, it's definitely, as you mentioned, a big old mess and something completely out of the blue. Not even those guys that were on the PGA Tour knew what was coming. But jumping over to Cougar Sports here, and what BYU has been able to accomplish in the offseason. They just recently got a huge transfer in Harrison Taggart to add to that BYU linebacker room. What are your thoughts on how well they've done this offseason?
Well, I do think that was a big thing to get Harrison. We have yet to see how productive he is at Division One. He's got a lot of measurables. He may not have the height, but he certainly has the speed, and being a four-star guy out of Corner Canyon, it's kind of a mystery why BYU didn't recruit him hard and offer him out of high school, but now they've got him with a new defensive coaching staff, and I think that's huge. I think it's huge for Jay Hill in that he's gone out to seek some help in certain positions along the defensive end, linebacker core, some corners. He's built depth, more depth than they had, as you recall, last year. Those linebackers just got mowed down, and when they did, they really, really struggled. Ben Bywater got hurt towards the end, and Max Dooley was hurt. Peyton Wilgar got banged up. Keenan Peely was never the same after surgery. They had to play real, real soft a lot, which was extremely frustrating to watch. And so I think Jay Hill, you got to give him credit by bringing in enough bodies that he can at least get the first and second step done in restructuring this defense so it's an attack defense. Now, we don't know how it's going to turn out, but certainly they have far more depth than they did before. Love the running back room right now. The receiver room also, I think, has been beefed up. The JC tight end that they got, I think, could contribute, along with Jacob Bauer that's coming in as a freshman out of Mountain View High School. I think that they've done very, very well. Being ranked in the top 20 for transfers, it speaks for itself. They're going to need all of that help and more for this schedule that they have coming up, which will be the far, far more difficult one that they've had probably since 2004.
No incoming class is perfect. There's always going to be holes. There's going to be things that you need to supplement for, maybe things that most people aren't aware of right now. But when you look at the existing defensive landscape for BYU, what's the biggest cause for concern for Dick Harmon heading into the season with BYU presenting this new defense?
Well, I think the kicking game, probably field goal kicking. I don't know that there is a solid answer there. It's still a guessing game. I think that's probably number one. Number two would probably be depth on the interior defensive line, tackle, nose guard. How many guys do you have that can really play and make a big difference? I think the defensive end situation is going to be okay. I don't know that it's going to be great, but they have enough choices and a lot of young players coming up that I think they can at least play around with that a little bit. But more importantly, I think they can recruit to that. If they can show what they intend to do, I think they can recruit to that, and I think they're continuing to do that this spring.
We're talking with Dick Harmon of the Deseret News here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. Dick, I want to ask you about the sustainability of what Kalani Sitake and this BYU football program has done as far as the transfer portal goes. We've seen over 20 guys leave, over 20 guys come in. Is it sustainable to have this much turnover on a football team? Now, granted, you did have a full defensive staff leave, and a lot of those transfers have come on the defensive side. But going forward and across all of college football, is having that much turnover and diving into the transfer portal that deep, is that sustainable for any program?
I think it probably is not if you did what Colorado did, which is kind of crazy. looking at north of 50 players that have left the program, and they need to fill those places. But I think 15 to 20 is reasonable in the era of the transfer portal. But more importantly than that, I think when you make those kind of changes, the thing that will be a backstop is if you have a continuity of coaches that can bring people in and assimilate them, teach them, and get them going, and getting them up to speed in spring and then in summer and 2-a-days. That's probably the most important thing. If you had that kind of turnover with the coaching staff, I think any program would be in tremendous trouble. So I think this is the era that we're going to see, where a lot of high school players coming out of high school, you got to be really, really good, or you're going to be passed over, and scholarships are going to be given to people that have already played Division I, either as a starter or as a backup, and because they've been through a conditioning program. They've been kind of tested. They put on weight. They're a little bit more mature, and so those are probably the answers for a ready-made fix on the Division I level. So I think that's the future of college football and basketball right now. And it's unfortunate for high school players, but yeah, I think you got to do it.
The point I bring up constantly, and I think you can speak to this better than anyone because you know the family so well, and you know Kalani and his upbringing and all that, but I maintain that this transfer portal, the success is going to be breeded by Kalani and how welcoming he is as a coach and just how easy it is to be around him, to trust him. Do you have any anecdotes that just maybe just express what Kalani is as a person? Maybe can you speak to that, just the welcoming atmosphere and how this might be a positive for BYU, just Kalani being what he is as a person?
Yeah, Brandon, I think people look at Kalani and they want him to be this and they want him to be that and they want him to speak a certain way. They want him to project a certain way. They wish that maybe that he would be more than a chairman of the board, a guy that's going to be involved in all the play calls, calling people out, doing things with his coaches. But he's kind of put a timestamp of Lavelle, is that he's a chairman of a board. He's the face of the program. And for the glad handing and the hugs and the welcoming atmosphere and spirit that he has, which he's had ever since he was in high school, and he gets it from his father, that is worth gold because people relate to that. Players love it. He knows their names. He knows the names of their family. He tries to be accommodating in every way that he can. If it's not working out, like Francis Bernard, he tries to find a positive way to make it work for him. And I think word has got around that Kalani is a guy that's going to care for you first. Before football, before everything else, even before school, he's going to care about you as a person. And when that's genuine and it is meaningful and it's impactful, I think it goes a long way. Unfortunately, there are some people that just don't think that Kalani is everything they want him to be, and that's not him. He's Kalani Sitake. I remember the game that BYU played out there. I think it was the one where Falstaff had some missed field goals or was frustrated up at Utah at Rice-Eccles Stadium, and Utah ended up pulling it out. I remember the interviews afterwards. Everybody was talking to the Bronco Mendenhall, and they were talking to Kyle Whittingham and other coaches. But I sought out Kalani because I know him, and I went up and I talked to him, and just the genuine way that he just spoke to me and gave me he gave me information about the game and perspective that, hey, this was a game that could have gone either way. You've got to credit BYU for how hard they fought over on this field. You've got to credit Bronco Mendenhall for having his team ready and prepared. And he gave me a lot of other stuff, which, Dirk Pacer, who covers the Utes, came to me up afterwards and said, man, that was tremendous coming from Kalani Sitake. And it was just great that he was able to project and give you the quotes that he did. But that's the way he is. He is what he is, and he's genuine. And I think in the world of sports now, which is proved out by the PGA and the LIV, it's not all about money, but yet it is. But with Kalani, it's about much, much more. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I kind of want to shift the conversation a little bit here. One of the hottest topics over the past couple of off seasons, especially in the month of June, has been conference realignment. And you put out a piece on Colorado and why they are the hot potato in the Pac-12, Big 12 rumors. Walk us through your thoughts on Colorado and why everything has been centered around Colorado as far as conference realignment goes.
Well, I think we all know that there's been tons of discussions that have gone behind the scenes, and those include, Colorado, probably Arizona, maybe Arizona State, and even Utah. That there's been contact, that people have been doing the research and due diligence. They tried to find out, hey, what is this about? If we don't like what the Pac-12 has, what can we do? What will you offer? What are we into? So those discussions have taken place. It seems like with Colorado, though, it's taken a little bit deeper. Once a member of the Big 12 back in the day, they kind of understand the territory. They understand where they've been with the Pac-12, which has not been good for them in football or in basketball. They've actually lost money. It's been challenging for them to recruit against USC and UCLA, even Arizona State and Utah. And I think that Deion Sanders coming in and getting 40,000 people at their spring game and kind of rejuvenating things, maybe they want a new and fresh look. And from all reports that I've had is the Colorado push has been a little bit more intense, a little bit deeper, and they may be the fall guy that goes out and makes everything crumble. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe they stay in the Pac-12, they take lesser amount of money, they smile, and by yeah, everybody's happy, but I think that they're the ones everyone is looking at, because if there's one team that's going to bolt, it would be Colorado. And if Colorado does that, then everything is off. There's going to be a major domino, because everybody's going to be scrambling to try to find a place without USC and UCLA. And if Washington and Oregon get any kind of sniff of the Big Ten, and I'm not saying that they will, but if they do, then that league is in serious trouble. So it's going to be lifelines all the way out and last shares on the Titanic.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. And John Canzano came out with a report earlier today that the Pac-10 or the remaining 10 teams of the Pac-12 have verbally agreed to a grant of rights deal. But that's kind of different from a media rights deal. Do you have any idea of when, we might hear of a media rights deal? I guess this is the big question everybody wants to know. Where we'll hear when will we hear of a media rights deal being put in place for the Pac-12?
That's a good question, because I thought that would need to be done before people talk about giving up their rights to their media broadcast. The grant of rights should have been the second thing after a media contract has been, kind of agreed to and accepted and kind of projected and announced. But that hasn't happened yet. So it's a little bit confusing to me. The other thing about John Canzano's report is there going to be an equal payment in the grant of rights? Is Oregon and Washington going to be paid more money for the rights that they have? Is it going to be on a basis based on what their value is? Saying Oregon State and Washington State are at the very bottom, and say Oregon and Washington are at the very top, and Utah somewhere in the middle. Are they going to be receiving money like that? Is it going to be an equal distribution? If it is, I think you're going to see Colorado saying, "No, we're not doing this." I don't know. I'd have to study John's blog again. I just glanced at it about 2 or 3 hours ago, and I'd have to see exactly what he's saying. But to me, it's confusing that you would start talking about grant of rights and getting that all settled, and people are going to give it up or whatever when you haven't announced a media deal yet. It seems like that should come first and then grant of rights second.
Yeah, interesting thoughts there. Hey, Dick, we appreciate you hopping on and spending some time with us. Let everybody know where they can follow you and also find your work as well.
That's on DeseretNews.com. I'm on Twitter at Harmon Wrights, and just trying to face this summer. Get a little time off, a little recreation, a little golf, fishing, and then hit it hard in August. But thanks for having me on, you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, that was Dick Harmon of the Deseret News, Deseret.com, and make sure you go follow him on Twitter as well. Some interesting things as far as Colorado goes. As well as the sustainability of what BYU is doing with the football program too, Gurney.
Yeah, I liked his point with Kalani. you have to coach to your strengths. Not every coach has the same strengths. Not every coach is going to be my best example is Robert and I, right? Fans didn't like the Robert and I. Wasn't creative. He didn't trick the opponent. Did the same thing over and over again, right?
Go fast, go hard.
He got results, and he's not that guy. Robert and I, as much as any coach I've ever dealt with, understands who he is, what his strengths are, and he doesn't care. He just does it. That's a quality. That's what you should be. I mean, of course, you should be willing to add. Maybe, and I was too stringent, and maybe not, I don't know, adding some more stuff. I don't know, right? But Kalani is Kalani, and he's not going to be Bronco Mendenhall ever. He's very much unlike Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah.
And Bronco was a very good coach. He found a lot of success doing things the way he did, and Kalani's finding the same thing with his same application, understanding what he is, what his strengths are, and coaching toward those strengths. So I think Kalani's successful in that. I think one area where that strength's going to come through in abundance, and I think you're seeing this, is just mature guys that have been through the process coming back to BYU and understanding, yeah, this is the kind of atmosphere I want to be part of.
All right, there you go. That was a Cougar Beat with Dick Harmon of the Deseret News. That's always brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah. Go to dentalprosofutah.com for all of your dentistry needs. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Be back on the other side with a Cougar Insider Report. You're listening to Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. Welcome back into Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. It's Bryce Larson alongside Brandon Gurney. We are filling in for Ben Criddle. He'll be back tomorrow. He's just out and about. I think he's down at the BYU football camp doing some business as well as with a family friend down there. He mentioned that he had in town. This Cougar Insider Report is brought to you by the All Poly Camps. Make sure you get signed up for the All Poly Camps and make sure you go online and find them with the All Poly Camps sign up there as well. Cougar Insider Report, Brandon Gurney. We are going to talk with Moose Bingham coming up here.
The ultimate insider.
Yeah, in the next segment, the ultimate recruiting insider, kicking game. Dick Harmon actually mentioned his biggest questions heading into this upcoming season. He said the number one thing was the kicking game, yeah, and then the defensive line. Do you agree with what he had to say as far as that goes?
Well, it's absolutely the kicking game, and whenever there's cracks in the kicking game, I like to blame Moose Bingham because he's so much on it. It's extremely irrational and unreasonable for me to do it, but I like to do it, and I will proceed to do so once we get Moose on the air. I'll yell at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've gotten the reports from BYU out of camp, spring camp, that the kicking game has still had its struggles, and even dating back to last season, I remember in that Baylor game to start off the season essentially last year was exciting as far as what happened with the kicking game.
Exciting.
And, yeah, that's a way to put it, right? Yeah. Exciting. No, it's probably excruciating for a lot of BYU fans, and then it continued to happen throughout the season. But if BYU doesn't find a kicker and someone who can, you know, reliably put the ball through the uprights, that could cost them a game. And when you're going into the Big 12 and you might only win six games, if you lose that sixth game to get you bowl eligible in your first year, that's a big deal to only get five wins and lose out on bowl eligibility in your first year because of the kicking game. So that shows you how big that kicking game component could possibly be going into the season.
Yeah, Kalani likes to go for it on fourth down. A lot of times it's frustrating when he does go for it on fourth down. I agree with about half the times he goes for a fourth down, I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'll be disagreeing a lot this year. Being privy to what's going on in the kicking game and whatnot, I'm hoping for a miracle. I think it could be a really, really good story if someone emerges and really becomes a guy that BYU hasn't had. It's a constant frustration to me that BYU can struggle to get a good kicker. It doesn't make sense to me. You'd think that would be a thing BYU would be strong at year in and year out, is cultivating good, accurate kickers. And the fact that it just hasn't happened, again, I'm going to blame Moose Bingham for this. Because I don't know who else to play, because it just doesn't make sense to me. It never has, it never will, until it gets rectified. So hopefully it does get rectified. It will be really surprising if it does this year, because the framework's just not there.
Right. We're going to keep you updated on this, as especially as fall camp goes on. We'll have all of the updates right here on ESPN 960. We'll be down at fall camp once it kicks off, Camp Kalani. So stick with us. We'll get into that as time goes on. But, yeah, that's your Cougar Insider Report. And on the flip side, we're going to welcome in Moose Bingham, talk a little bit about the recruiting that BYU has done this offseason and the top 20 transfer portal ranking that BYU has accrued as well. Once again, this is brought to you by All Poly Camps. Make sure you go and sign up for that All Poly Camp today. All right, coming up next is a Crew the Cougars segment with Moose Bingham. Appreciate you tuning in. It's Bryce Larson and Brandon Gurney in for Ben Criddle right here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
Criddle, and it's time for Crewing the Cougars, an inside look at the latest news on the recruiting trail surrounding Cougar athletics.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. It's Bryce Larson alongside Brandon Gurney. This is going to be a Crew in the Cougars segment, and it's going to be brought to you by Valley Sports Talk on ESPN 960. It's a new show here on the 960 AM dial, hosted by myself, Bryce Larson. It's from 2 to 3 p.m., so right before Ben goes on right here on Cougar Sports, and cover everything going on in Utah Valley with a special spotlight on Utah Valley University, but also branch out. Whenever there's big news hitting the airwaves, definitely going to cover it. Today I had the host of Utah Golf Radio on, Paul Pugmire, and we talked all about the PGA and LIV Tour merger. So if you want to stay informed on all of the latest happenings in the sports world all across the nation as it pertains to Utah Valley and Utah County, make sure you tune in to Valley Sports Talk right here on ESPN 960 from 2 to 3 p.m. Mountain Time. This is going to be a Crewing the Cougars segment, and we are venturing to get Moose Bingham on the line here in just a moment to talk about it. He's a former BYU on-campus recruiter, and he brings the heat every time that we get him on, and we're going to talk about this this transfer ranking. BYU currently sits at number 20 in the nation as far as 24/7 Sports transfer portal recruiting rankings go. And Brandon, you are a big recruiting guy. Has BYU ever been in the top 20 when it comes to recruiting in your time covering the Cougars?
Not even close. Not even close. I think Gary Croton's first recruiting year was kind of right there. Even the Jake Heaps class, no. It just hasn't been there, and BYU needs to consistently crack the top 50, and that's a pretty low bar in my opinion to find success. A lot of people denigrate the rankings, oh, it doesn't matter, and yeah, give me all the antidotes you can, whatever, right? By and large, the teams that recruit the best, that are highest in the rankings, are the ones that are going to be successful, and that's just the way it is. So yeah, BYU's doing a lot better in that regard. There's been some recent kerfuffle about just how the defensive staff just hasn't put in the time and just kind of recruited in a weird way. We've been telling you this on the program for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
I've gone around to high school coaches that are kind of BYU guys that would love to send their kids to BYU that were very vitriolic in their I mean, just shocking comments about just how BYU would not recruit their kids. And when they did, they don't put in the time. They don't do it effectively. Where these guys were turned toward Utah while Utah was doing the necessary stuff. But I want to ask Moose about this because Moose understands it better than anyone. But I believe BYU is going to do that. It's going to be centered. It's going to be competitive. And it's going to be active, where in the past it was lacking.